All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and of course, alongside of me is Mr. Joe DeCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back here once again. You know what time it is.
Hell yeah.
Time to help us out here. Help us grow this channel because we are growing. Right now, calculated, we are just eclipsed over 3,000 subscribers on Grumblings Media. We are making things happen here. You could do a huge favor. Head over to YouTube. Hit that subscribe button on Grumblings Media. Also, hit that notification bell to let you guys know when we go live. You want to drop comments down in the section. We are live right now, guys. We want you to drop comments down, questions, anything you want to add, opinions about maybe what we're going to be talking about, which is the AFC North. And you can also help us out. Go to grumblingsmedia.com, our website there, where you can get all the latest, the political, the entertainment, the sports that you're feeding for there, and rumble.com. Rumble.com is actually one of these apps that are just kind of just starting to grow, and we are making a splash over there. So make sure you head over there, give us some ratings, give us a follow. And, of course, yes, I know you're asking, what else can you do?
Well, but there's more.
There's more. You can also take us on the go if you want, and on Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, you name it, drop us a review on Spotify. I'm just learning about this right now. You can do a review on Spotify. So make sure you guys head over there. Help us out. Give us 5 stars. We much appreciate it.
Absolutely. We love it. Yeah. We're just hitting the audio, so we definitely appreciate you guys. If you hit it there, you guys want to listen on the go, we love it there. Joe, I feel a lot better. Last week I was a little rough, so you can tell the difference here. A lot more energy. So we're loving it here. So I'm super excited to get into this.
Yeah, I had to double up the energy, last week.
Absolutely. All right, first of all, let's give our condolences to Kyrie Jackson's family, yes, too, of what happened with 100%. Him. I just wanted to mention that real quick. Again, yeah, a tragic car accident. Him and two other buddies involved in that. And it was, again, drunk drivers. They assume alcohol was in play, cut in front of them, and it was wiped them out. I mean, that's what's sad. When it's nothing your own doing, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. Somebody else's poor decisions end your life and ruin somebody else's, what I mean? So it's a terrible so we want to give condolences to the family and stuff.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry for
condolences to the family, the friends, anybody that knows Kyrie personally. Mm-hmm. It is truly a sad, sad thing that just transpired. And to a young kid, 24 years old, like just starting his NFL career, like, he was pumped and excited to see what he could do. Maybe he could break the lineup or something like that. But, man, it's truly sad for Vikings fans and for everybody around Kyrie Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get to a lighter note here. Let's talk about the NFL and how much money they made last year, Joe.
Oh, they made some big money.
Ooh, making money here last year. I think this just came out there. Their revenue was roughly $13 billion.
Yeah.
And the teams are getting a share of that now, too. So here they go. A non-for-profit. We talked about this. A non-for-profit. Profit company still making money for these other owners and things like that. So this is big. Again, the NFL keeps growing and things like that, and it's such a huge entity, and they're growing their popularity now, doing Brazil games all over and spreading it worldwide. But who knows? Now it seems like they might have to pay some of that money to the subscribers of the Sunday ticket now, maybe.
I mean, so the teams now, it's like, here's a $400 million check. It's a little over $400 million. Here's the check. And then basically they have to turn around and say, write return to sender, mm-hmm, and ship it back. Oh, yeah, and add another $100 million to that, because with the NFL Sunday ticket suit that has transpired, we're still waiting on an appeal from the NFL. But if it stays the way it has been, deemed it will stay, then – they got to give like $500 million per team or so, a little bit over that. And it's just one of those things where, like, okay, yeah, we earned this much, and now we need it all back so, mm-hmm, we can pay the lawsuit off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's big there. So, it comes out, and again, it's no big surprise that the NFL is making this money and, bigger TV deals and stuff. But now with that Sunday ticket thing, so who knows, things might change. And we've talked about it last week quick. The fact that, establishments that want to have the Sunday ticket, stuff like that, they might benefit coming forward after this if, again, the appeal is unsuccessful here for the NFL. So, that's something.
Right. I mean, special. For the first time ever, businesses are going to be able to get the Sunday ticket and be able to show all the games, you know, because they haven't been allowed to show them. So for the first time that they're going to get involved in this and they're going to get the Sunday ticket and they're going to get all the games and be able to have people, you know, customers and everything and boost their business. So I think this is a very good thing as long as it stays the way it has been decided. You know, we're still waiting, like I said, the NFL appeal that's going to be coming up. But man, a lot of things are going to change. And I'll tell you this, too, is I also seem to think that because of the amount of money they were charging for the Sunday ticket, that was also part of the lawsuit, is that you might even see a little bit cheaper price now for the Sunday ticket mm-hmm. because they were seen as just gouging people at will because they could do that, kind of like a monopoly. So we'll see what happens in the near future, but nonetheless, something, you know, is great and positive for fans and businesses alike.
Yeah, and now roughly, well, I think each NFL team is roughly about $5 billion each team. You know, if you average it, I think the Dallas Cowboys alone are $9.2 billion in worth. So again, these companies making big money, and so are these owners. So we'll see what happens with the appeal, you know, in the next couple of weeks. But again, big numbers for the NFL, and we're not really surprised there. Some other stuff in the news. See, we are talking about the preview of the AFC North in just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring up something that Joe Burrow had said down recently news. He had brought up, you know, what his take is on
the
18-game season. And I know a few weeks ago when, you know, camps were just getting started, he was showing that, you know, he has bulked up and things like that, and, you know, to try and handle some of the injuries and stuff like that and hopefully not get injured this week, this season. But he had, you know, been vocal about his opinions in that 18-game season, and I've heard him before say the fact that he wanted to have two bye weeks, which we have talked about this ever since they had talked about, you know, 18-game seasons a couple mm-hmm. years ago, Joe, mm-hmm. on our other show. Right. And now he's added to this, though, Joe. He's got a different take on this.
He does have a really different take on this. So when we talked about this originally, we were saying, okay, if they wanted to ever get to 18-game season, then you have to have two bye weeks. You have to break up the monotony and to hopefully alleviate some of the strain that goes on to these teams and these players throughout the regular season. So that being said, now Joe Burrow's come out. He's like, he agrees with us and says, yeah, we should have two bye weeks, but we should also, the second bye week should be a Pro Bowl game. That's when the Pro Bowl game should happen, is the second bye week of the season. And then that way we get the Pro Bowl game out of the way. We get, you know, but here's the thing. It's like, Joe,
oh my God, who
do you
the hell
understand is? What you just said is you want to put the Pro Bowl on the second bye week, where you're playing in the regular season right now.
Right.
Players are not going to play in that. So if you nominate them to the Pro Bowl, like, yeah, dude, I'm chasing a ring. You know what I mean? If you're a competitive team, like, you're chasing the playoffs. Like, you're trying to get into that ring there to duke it out with other playoff caliber teams and hopefully win the Super Bowl. Like, why would you even jeopardize? And I understand you're like, oh, well, they play flag football. Yeah, but, well, who knows? Maybe someone tweaks an ankle or worse. You know, ACLs seem to be happening way more common now. So if that was to happen, end your season. So it's like, I think this is a little too ambitious, to say the least, for Joe. We are cool with the bye weeks. But to add the Pro Bowl game in the middle of the regular season is a little ridiculous. We've always thought that for a while that the Pro Bowl used to happen after the Super Bowl, which made a lot of sense because after the regular season's over with and the playoffs and the Super Bowl itself, now anybody that was nominated to the Pro Bowl, now you can go to Hawaii or wherever it is and you can enjoy yourself and you don't have to worry about playing a game the following week or anything like that. Just enjoy yourself and then you have the offseason. That's what we hope it goes back to, moving that Pro Bowl game after the Super Bowl, and I feel like we'll enjoy it a lot more as fans.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they got to do, especially now they got the competitions and stuff like that, too, on top of it. Even though it is a flag game, like you said, nobody wants to see that, you know, as it is, you know, where it is. In between, once they moved it to Orlando for one, the one mm-hmm. time, and then before the Super Bowl, you knew it just dropped right out, that there's no interest whatsoever. I don't know what their big idea was in trying to get more interest that way. it backfired completely. And the fact of trying to put it in the middle of the season, I think is stupid. You know what I mean? So this is where, again, I think Joe Burrow
makes sense.
I don't know. Maybe somebody should drug test him right now. You know, random.
Well, you know, he is a little young. Yeah. So it's like, you know, he's a little young, and he's like, you know, I could play at the Pro Bowl in the middle of the season. I'd be fine. Yeah. You know, but it's a little too much,
Insanity. Yeah. So there you go. So that's a little different of a take here. So without further ado, Joe, we're going to get right into it. We are talking this week about the AFC North and previewing all the teams here. We're going to go through each team here, break them down a little bit, and kind of give our take on it after the fact, and pick an early picks here.
Dude, this division here, especially, we knew this division was going to be hard to decipher, but just looking at these teams, like browsing the rosters and everything, it's like, dude, how am I going to pick? How am I going to pick who's going to win this division? How am I going to pick who's going to come in second? Like, or third even. Like, it's crazy. But we're going to get into this.
Absolutely. Sure. So, okay, here, let's get right into it,
Joe.
Let's go. And let's talk first about, there you are, the Baltimore Ravens, Joe.
Right. Yeah, Baltimore Ravens. And this is the thing, too, is there's a couple of different changes with the Ravens. They still have a star-studded roster, like they're very physical football team. They always have a really good defense, very solid, doesn't really make that many mistakes. Offensively, we all know them as this run-heavy offense with Lamar Jackson leading the charge there. A few tweaks of this team. One, you got the D coordinator. No more Mike McDonald. He's gone. He's in Seattle now. So Zach Orr is going to replace him. Now, Zach Orr, former linebacker of the Ravens, I assume and can anticipate that he is going to be just as aggressive as Mike because that's what he was brought up in to be. You know what I mean? So I don't suspect the defense changing that much in terms of play calling or being passive versus aggressive. I think they're still going to come after you. So that's one thing. The next thing here is, and the biggest one, is their huge free agent signing at running back with Derrick Henry. This is like a match made in heaven here. You know, Derrick Henry, a very bruising running back, a guy who's done it, you know, his whole career. He is 30 years old now, so it's going to be interesting to see him transcend onto a new team that loves to run the football. And it's going to be uncanny to watch Derrick Henry in the backfield and Lamar Jackson, who can run himself. We all know that very well. Who are you going after? Who are you going to pursue? Because you can't do both at the same time. It's going to be very difficult. So look for this team to utilize that, where they're going to sometimes hand it off to Henry, sometimes Lamar keeps it. And people were kind of getting concerned with, and I know this happens to every team every offseason, you may lose some free agents or whatnot, and you're like, oh, well, how are we going to replace it? This is one of the organizations – one of the few organizations that do it extremely well. Somehow they find a way to get young talent, whether it be a free agent signing after the draft or during the draft, someone that they spotted later on and they grab them. They're going to develop them and groom them. And that's what they've done yet again this year. There were some concerns about their offensive line. Are they going to add some holes? They drafted Roger Rosengartner, who I think is going to be an excellent rookie coming in. Now, he's penciled in as a starter right now, over who I felt was going to be the starter in Daniel Falele. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be an interesting training camp battle to watch for the Ravens flock out there. Other than that, like, you look at a very solid offensive line across the board. Andrew Voorhees is going to get his first start coming up. And then the receivers. Like, they always had an issue with having enough receivers. Well, they have receivers now. I'm just wondering, how much are they going to utilize them this year? Mm-hmm. Because Rashad Bateman coming back from an injury, he looks great in camp from what everybody says out of Baltimore. They're saying, like, he looks like a completely different wide receiver. And then you couple him with Zay Flowers and then a young rookie who will be up and coming. I'm curious to see how they utilize him this season in Devontae Walker. And then I got to mention this guy. Everybody remember Malik Cunningham, the former quarterback for the Patriots? Mm-hmm. He's on the Ravens roster and not as a quarterback, but he's converted to wide receiver now. So using his athletic talents, he's decided to shift gears here and try out wide receiver. So that'll be interesting to watch, too, to see if he even makes the team. let alone. But everybody knows Lamar Jackson and how good he's going to be. Like, he's a gifted athlete. And then their defense, like I said before, always solid, never any real glaring holes. And when you think they do have it, they replace him with younger talent. They drafted this year Nate Wiggins, a shutdown corner right out of the gate from Clemson. He just needs to build his body type up. He needs to get a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger so he can kind of get involved in tackling the running back a little bit more, not get pushed out of the way. So I'm curious to see over this short period of time in training camp, how much muscle he can pack on. How much more aggressive is he going to play at the next level? Because physicality is a must. And I'm curious to see how he develops going forward. But other than that, like, this whole roster up and down is very solid. They got a lot of returning vets. They got a lot of young up and coming ballers, and I can't wait to see what Baltimore can do this year.
Yeah, I mean, again, not much to say after that, but this team, they're just going to continue to do what they're doing. Yeah. They're going to make the playoffs, go deep, and this is where you're going to have to watch this season, though, because now we've already seen Lamar Jackson get paid and things like that. Mm-hmm. He's standing out to be the MVP multiple years. He's, you know, not exactly your typical type of quarterback, you know. So I think now he is going to get a lot of attention this season in the playoffs. So when he gets there, he needs to win, I think, because again, once he's there, I think a lot of people are going to start to question him, because now he, like you said, he's played very well. He's a different type of quarterback. He's multiple MVP. He has gotten paid. So now everybody's going to start talking about legacy and things like that, or where he is with your Patrick Mahomes and your Josh Allen and these other guys, to where, all right, son, now you got to get paid, or you got to win, because we started to hear a little bit of it last year, a little chirping and things like that. Now I think the focus is going to be really on him now that you've even got some more weapons here too on your roster, and you're expected to win. I really liked what Zay Flowers was doing last year too. I think he's going to continue to do what he was last year on top of it.
I hope he's a little bit more involved than last year.
Yeah. I think you started to see it more in the playoffs. I think in the playoffs he really started to become a part of this here. And I think they could have utilized him more. But the addition of Derrick Henry again, I mean, what a nice pickup here to and where you're not even now for Derrick Henry. Now I think that alleviates some of the pressure that's on you, even to be like that guy. When you're in Tennessee and you were the guy and everything, the whole offense pretty much revolved around what you did. We said it before with Tennessee that the way their style was that he was their star, that they had to run it a lot. So when you get down in games, it's kind of hard to get back into it because that was your deal, your running game, and that's how you did it. Baltimore built the same way, but Baltimore is able to do it, though.
They are the same way.
They are, but they still were able to do it with Lamar Jackson making plays with his legs and then getting into an open receiver, in the same play, whether it's a broken play or not. So I think adding, Derrick Henry to this offense, I think that makes it a lot more electrifying here, and I can't wait to watch it this season.
Yeah, definitely going to be more physical. They're still going to continue to run the ball like Tennessee did, and even that was the whole game plan with Tennessee with Derrick Henry. It's like, yeah, he was the star. Yeah, he is the go-to guy. They're going to utilize him, and they play off the run just like Baltimore does. I'm hoping that we see a little bit more evolved offense in Baltimore this season where they don't go so crazy run heavy and kind of – they still can be run heavy, but also kind of just throw in little pass here, little pass there, and kind of keep the defense on their heels. So I'm hoping to see a more aggressive play calling as far as passing goes this season. I want to see Lamar kind of shine a little bit more as a quarterback and not just a guy who's threatened with the ball in his hands.
Right, and I think that's what, again, I think there's going to be a spotlight on that where I think everybody wants to see that at this point.
One other thing that I will mention too is that TJ Tampa, they got in the fourth round a rookie corner who I absolutely loved coming out. I definitely could see that as another really big camp battle between him and Brandon Stevens. So look for that to happen too. But other than that, like, this is one of the best teams in football right now.
Right.
They're so physical, and they play a brand of football that not a lot of teams like to play.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City Chiefs had problems with Baltimore in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and it was because of their physical nature and how they attacked them. They didn't have an answer for.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to look at – some teams are going to try to mimic it. There's some teams when they play teams like the Chiefs, they're going to try to mimic that physicality, but they just can't match it because they're not ready for that. So Baltimore is going to be one of those premier teams for sure.
Right. Late addition last year on a trade, Roquan Smith, I think it was a great addition. Now you get to see him in a full season with them. I mean, that's going to be great.
Last season was impressive.
I know. When that happened, it was just scary, man.
And obviously, they have other younger guys to watch out. Trenton Simpson's another guy from 2 years ago in 23 got drafted. Now he's penciled to start. So there's got to be a lot of optimism and excitement amongst the Ravens flock to check out some of these young up-and-coming players.
All right. We've got Back to the Stone Age with us.
What's going on, Stone Age?
He says, yo, Blitz Bros, is my man Mark Andrews coming back 100%, or will he have a reduced role?
No, he's going to have the same role he always has, much like Kansas City does with Travis Kelce, is he's the guy. Like, Mark is going to be the guy. That's Lamar Jackson's favorite target. So he's going to get his catches. He's going to get his yards. He's going to get his touchdowns. He's going to have yet another really good year. Now, the bigger picture is, can Mark stay healthy all season? Because that's been the knock on him, is that he routinely gets injured, and it takes away from what he could do to help this team go further. So this year, very important for him to, you know, stick with his diet, stick with working out, stick with practice, and maintain that health all the way throughout the year.
All right, now we're going to move on to the I just talked about the Baltimore.
Cincinnati.
Now we're going to move on to the Cincinnati Bengals, Joe. Take it away.
That's right. The Bengals, you know, and here's the other thing, too, is we just kind of very briefly talked about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, being very vocal like he is right now, he's also answering a lot of questions about his health and a few OTAs, and I know there's no pads on, there's no physicality, and obviously quarterbacks aren't getting hit intentionally yet until we see preseason games. But from all health concerns, they've all been alleviated, like his wrist, his legs, his ankles, like everything, nothing is sore anymore. He looks amazing throwing the football. His mechanics are down. There's no hitch in his throw. Like, I was kind of expecting, like, maybe there might be a little bit of a hitch to where, okay, maybe he's not 100%, but he's close. Nah, no hitch at all. The guy is throwing lasers all over the football, all over the field, and dropping dimes. So I don't have any concerns health-wise for Joe Burrow, but I think everybody else out there agrees that Burrow, we're concerned, like, longevity. Like, can he stay healthy all year this year? Coming off of those injuries, that's going to be a big question for him to answer. And if he does, I got no issues with him being able to return back to his prowess. Like, he's going to light it up in the NFL. When you have a wide receiver like Ja'Marr Chase, it's kind of hard not to. And Joe Burrow is an excellent quarterback himself. So T. Higgins is going to be there. He signed his franchise tag, so he's locked in for at least one more year with Cincinnati. And he's going to continue that chemistry that he has with Burrow. But more than not, like, we're interested also in guys like Trenton Irwin. These are younger guys that are now stepping up because now Tyler Boyd has moved on.
Right.
The Bengals let him move in free agency. He left. And now they're looking to utilize that investment in a lot of these younger wide receivers to step up. Trenton Irwin is one of them. Andre Yesivas is another. Rookie Jermaine Burton is a guy to keep an eye on, especially in training camp. He may carve out a role, maybe even potentially a starting role. And Charlie Jones has been there for a couple years now, going into a second year. He's someone else to keep an eye on. Offensive line was a big question mark.
Right.
We all know that. We're all concerned, like, oh, my God, Burrow got hurt. Like, part of him staying healthy is you need some freaking better protection. So Orlando Brown Jr. is there at left tackle. They bring him in. And then in the interior, they have Ted Karras, old veteran center, who's going to lock it down in the middle. Alex Kappa coming over from Tampa last year. that locks in that right guard spot. And then what's interesting is the right tackle was a major concern coming into the offseason. Mm-hmm. They signed Trent Brown, who, honestly, I've seen him play for the Patriots. I've seen him play with the Raiders and then back with the Patriots again. The guy has untapped talent. He could be one of the best tackles in football. The problem with him is that I just feel like he's lazy. I feel like he just doesn't have the drive. And he's always injured all the time. So Trent Brown is penciled right now at right tackle. Now, whether they can figure out a way to keep him healthy, I think he would be an excellent signing and an excellent addition. But more times than not, I don't think he's going to stay healthy. So they did draft another right tackle in Amarius Mims, who is a juggernaut of a right tackle. Now, he's a little bit raw, so he's going to have to take some time to develop, needs to get a little bit stronger for the next level. But, man, is he athletic. Huge tree branch arms, super, super athletic, can move sideline to sideline like super quick. This guy has it all. He just needs to put everything into one basket and keep pushing forward. So if he, as long as he develops well for the Bengals, I feel like even if Trent does get hurt and Amarius Mims has to start, has to get into the lineup, I think they'll be just fine. So yeah. I feel like they've addressed the offensive line very nicely this offseason, knowing Burrow was coming back. And the one big question mark, though, that I will say about the offense isn't any of the positions I named, but running back.
Yep.
Joe Mixon now is gone. He's in Houston. And you bring in the likes of Zach Moss, who I get it. Zach Moss did a good job for the Colts last year when he was called, his number was called upon, and in place of Jonathan Taylor, and he did a good job. But to bring him in as the featured back for your Bengals offense, I don't think he's starting caliber type of a running back. He's nothing like Joe Mixon. He's not that much of a playmaker. I think he's just an average running back. And then behind him, you have other guys that are going to be vying for that job too, that are going to be pushing him. So I just – would have liked to see it, either them re-sign Mixon, or there was a lot of free agent running backs out there that could have been signed that could have replaced him as a starter. So my one concern is running back right now. I don't think they're going to get the same playmaking out of a guy like Zach Moss. So that's one thing I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I'm going to voice the same opinion on that one, too. I mean, that was the thing I was going to bring up, the fact that Zach Moss, where you lose your running back, and then this is what you bring in. I mean, that's a big loss for them at the running back position, and they don't have anybody here to match what they had, you know what I mean? Because that's the one thing. If this offense did happen to get a little – sluggish if Joe Burrow was getting pressured because he was, and getting attacked and sacked, they had that luxury to run it off and make some plays and get the offense going that way in the running game with Joe Mixon. I don't think Zach Moss is really turning it up that much here for them. That's why I think Joe Mixon, when he went to do the Texans, I think was a major win. You know what I mean? So, oh, my goodness. So, that's what I mean. The rich get richer. And you could see it here. Like you said, their main focus in this offseason was to take care of Joe Burrow. And they did that with the offensive line and bringing in all these cats here and some veterans here to try and protect him. Right. That was their main objective, because Joe Burrow is everything here. They paid him the money. He's now had his second injury that's ended his season. It was kind of a weird one this year, a little different with pulling that thing in his, his finger there or whatever. But more than, nonetheless, still an injury. So he is their main asset. They want to keep going here and keep him healthy. Because he revolved, even though Brown, let me tell you, Jake Browning did a very good job when he was filling in. I mean, the one thing you do ask of your backup quarterback is to try and keep this team afloat at least. And I think he was performing well as a backup here for Joe Burrow. So shout out to Jake Browning for the Bengals too, as well, for
Brown
backup
role.
It's like you see those little bit like a little stars every now and then. It was sort of like the Tommy DeVito was for the Giants, very shortly. Everybody was loving him, because he was winning or doing the way he was, And the same thing, Jake Browning, I think, was doing very well for them. But
yeah, he was,
I agree with you here. In the running game, that is a major loss for this team.
Yeah,
it was. And tight end situation. I really feel they didn't have to go and get Mike Gesicki. I would have been happy if I was them just to stay with Drew Sample.
The reason why
Tanner Hudson.
They needed better depth. They didn't have enough there, and they knew it. Like the Bengals were even looking at possibly trading up to get like Brock Bowers in this year's draft because he's such a difference maker. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, well, if we get him and we couple him with the receivers that we have, like, man, our offense could be unstoppable. So they got insurance with Mike Gesicki. They hoped to possibly get Bowers, but that didn't happen. But now they're still okay. They're comfortable with it because now you have guys like Drew Sample, Mike Gesicki, both receiving threats, Tanner Hudson. Like, there's a lot to like there. You have a very complete position at tight end where now you're not worried about it, even though they couldn't get the guy they wanted or possibly wanted because, you know, you hear rumors all the time. They're okay. The offense is going to be a very good offense, and obviously, like, they have a, you know, huge hill to climb because in this division it is probably the most physically dominated division in the league. Like, this is very tough to deal with when you're playing against these other teams. Defensively, I want to say this is another thing too. Is like, there's still question marks about Trey Hendrickson. Mm-hmm. We don't know his future right now. We're still waiting. We're still waiting to hear because he talked about how he wanted to be traded. He wanted out of Cincinnati. If you weren't going to be willing to give me a new deal and extend me and give me more money, then I don't want to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. And he even threatened retirement too. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, yeah, I want to play in Cincinnati, but if you guys don't want to play ball with me, then I could just retire now. I won't even play this season. I'll be done. Mm-hmm. And to make that kind of a statement, he really means it. Like, he's not joking around. So we've kind of tussled with the whole situation with the receiver with T. Higgins and what he was looking for in terms of a deal, and they were working on it but couldn't get close. Now Trey's talking. Like, Trey wants to get paid. So my thing, too, is for the Cincinnati organization is now they need to think about, like, okay, do we just let T. Higgins walk now? Do we let him go and then utilize what money we're probably thinking about paying him and now slide it over to Trey and lock him in? So that's kind of like another big deal that people haven't been talking about as we get closer to training camp. That's still out there. We don't know if Trey's going to be on the roster, retirement, or get traded. If a deal can't even come close. So that's got to be concerning for Bengals fans. It hasn't died yet. And people just stopped talking about it because it was news like 2 months ago. You know what I mean? Not anymore.
Oh, so I know. Isn't that funny how that happens? Like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that, right?
That's got to be concerning. That has to be handled before we get to week one. It just has to. Before the end of training camp, something has to happen, whether they give him, like, even if it's just this year, and say, hey, we're going to rework your contract. We're going to give you a little bit more dough this year, this season, and then we'll reconvene in the next offseason just to kind of alleviate the pressure right now. So I hope that Cincinnati Bengals do that before we get close to week one. But, man, that's still something that's going on. Now, if they are able to lock in Trey with Sam Hubbard on the other side, Those two guys are one heck of a duo. They definitely create pressure, definitely get after the quarterback, stop the run even. And when you got B.J. Hill inside at D-tackle, Sheldon Rankins now comes over from Houston. But here's the thing. I tend to think that second-round draft pick, Chris Jenkins Jr., he's going to be someone that you need to worry about. This dude is going to push for this starting gig over Sheldon. Mm-hmm. I think he's more gifted than Sheldon Rankin. So I fully expect Chris Jenkins to push for that starting role and him carve out that starting spot. That, to me, is going to make this defensive line not only just – it already is tough. Mm-hmm. But if Chris Jenkins gets the playbook down and then starts to make that push in training camp, mark my words, he could very easily take that starting job. And that makes this defensive line even tougher to deal with.
Yeah. Joe, hey, you took the words right out of my mouth, man. I love it. I love it. Chris Jenkins Jr., absolutely. I agree with you there.
Going beyond the D-line, you look at the rest of the defense here. A lot of people were concerned, like, oh, well, you know, what about safety and everything? Because they moved on from their longtime vet there. They did bring in Von Bell, who was formerly with the Bengals before. He's still going to be there. Geno Stone. Now, Geno Stone from Baltimore comes over as a free agent acquisition. I think this is an underrated signing This dude is going to be an amazing starter for them. He showed flashes and highlights with Baltimore in his young career, young player who's going to continue to ascend. And then you look at their corners, DJ Turner the second starting, Mike Hilton at nickel, and Taylor Britt, all very, very solid corners in this defensive lineup. I don't think you have anything to worry about in terms of their defense. Even their linebacking core is super solid. Logan Wilson, everybody knows him. And to pair him up with Jermaine Pratt is also another key cog there in this defense. So, again, another team, Baltimore Ravens, very solid, hardly any weaknesses. The same thing could be said for the Cincinnati Bengals at this moment, where they've managed to do a great job with filling in holes with young talent and even some vets.
All right. Moving on next to, as we cover the AFC North, the Cleveland Browns. All right. So the Browns, again, the big question here for this year is got to be, again, Deshaun Watson. Again, everybody knows the stories. Everybody knows what he was paid. Everybody knows the injuries. Everybody knows that he's had a rough start here and there, looked good at times, but still not back to that old guy. And will he ever be? We don't know. But the Cleveland Browns hope, at least that he should be or that he would be. And, again, they bring in Jerry Jeudy here, you know, from the Denver Broncos here to pair with Amari Cooper. And now you've got Nick Chubb coming back healthy. So that's a big factor for this team. I feel if Deshaun Watson was able to stay healthy and he didn't get, you know, Joe Flacco and stuff because of all the injuries and stuff like that, and Nick Chubb stayed completely healthy during the season, we could have maybe had some of these questions answered for the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, we would have got to see that. But last year we didn't. You know, just too many injuries here. The defense was amazing, you know, award-winning, you know, where Myles Garrett, you know, taking the crown. So I think this is a question for these guys coming up in this season. It's got to be Deshaun Watson getting it going here with these other, you know, newly acquired Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing, too, is when you look at this offense, you know, it's not just about Cooper and Jeudy. I'm interested to see how much more involved Elijah Moore is going to be. Coming over from the Jets last year in a trade, I look for him to kind of get with this.
I was hoping
with this receiving core,
with it.
There's no rhyme or reason not to be able to distribute the football to all these guys and not just the top three. Also, look at their tight end and David Njoku, who started to show some flash. Everybody's been waiting for it in Cleveland. Like, when are we going to see this guy? But he's been injured a lot, an awful lot for his young career. They locked him up at the end of the last year. He's going to be remain a Brown and look for him to continue to ascend. I don't know what he found. I don't know what, like, did he figure out a new diet? Did he figure out a new way to work out so he prevents injury? Because it seemed like he was a completely different type of tight end out there last season. So look for him to continue to grow and progress. And I think the sky's the limit for David Njoku, along with all these other receivers. Offensive line-wise, again, we talk about the offenses for the Bengals and the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Again, we're looking at the Browns now, and what was once some concerns with the receivers, no longer a concern. Some concerns with the offensive line, very solid now. They signed Jack Conklin last year. Like, they've managed to put together a formula and a plan for this offseason to make sure that the offense wasn't going to be the reason or take any blame for possibly losing games. Because we all know the defense is locked down. We all know the defense is a top five defense led by Jim Schwartz, the D coordinator. So that defense is super aggressive, in your face all the time. They managed to disguise some blitzes very well, and they are exciting to watch defensively. And when you look at this offense, there were some concerns last year because Nick Chubb wasn't around. Mm-hmm. They didn't have their horse to give the football to and said, hey, get us a first down. Mm-hmm. Get us in the end zone. You know what I mean? So now that they have Nick Chubb back and he's fully healthy, he's going to be ready to go week one. Couple that with the idea of now you have a very solid offensive line, a fully filled out wide receiving core. Deshaun Watson comes back. Now, I don't think there's any concern with him returning back to his old ways, because we saw glimpses of it last year before his injury. Mm-hmm. He went 5-1 as the quarterback for the Browns. Browns were looking great after six games. So I watch for him to and this offense to kind of return back to their winning ways. Now, inside this division, This is going to be crazy, everybody, to be able to compete with these teams in their division. And likewise, other, you know, the other way, it's going to be, this is going to be like a, this is going to be the new, new way of the black and blue division. I feel like this is going to be where it's going to be so physical, and both teams are going to be looking to beat each other up, every time they face each other, that it's going to be so low scoring. I feel like it's going to be just kind of one of those grind them out games, and maybe they win by a field goal at the end. So, but all in all, the Browns offense has definitely gotten a ton better. And then their defense, which is already top five, mm-hmm. they don't have, again, another team that is solid from top to bottom in with the Cleveland yep. Browns. No weaknesses in the secondary, no weaknesses at linebacker, no weaknesses at the D-line. This is going to be truly something to watch for.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, like you said, not much to say about the defense. You know, they're just still getting more weapons, you know, on the defensive side too, getting even better top to bottom. The line, the secondary.
Their depth even too.
Depth is crazy too. You know what I mean? So you could go further and further. So I think that's what they really need, you know, that offense to click, not get injured, you know, stay away from that. When they lost Nick Chubb last year, it was just so disheartening, and it just was, it killed them. You know, I mean, they were happy and lucky to get, you know, Joe Flacco and what he was able to do for them. But, I mean, that's their workhorse, like you were saying.
Yeah, it wasn't just Chubb either. When you lose your starting quarterback, that's it. You're done. Yeah. It doesn't matter how good your backup is.
Right.
Like, I know there might be some exceptions sometimes. Like, we remember when Nick Foles was the backup for the Eagles and still was able to lead them in the playoffs and then win a Super Bowl. That doesn't happen. It's a rarity. Mm-hmm. But when if you have a good backup, that gives you still a chance to kind of go a little bit farther, but it's nothing like having your starter. When you lose your starter, you lose the heart and soul of that offense. So hopefully they're managed to keep these guys healthy this year.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so on that next, let's move on to the
Steel Curtain.
Pittsburgh Steelers here as we cover the AFC North. Joe, Steelers.
Yeah, let's talk about Arthur Smith for a second, guys.
Oh, boy. Why?
Because this could be the downfall of the Steelers. I mean, does anybody pay attention to the Atlanta Falcons offense last year? It was led by Arthur Smith. He was the play caller and head coach. Now, I don't know if maybe it alleviates pressure from Smith. He's like, okay, well, I'm not the head coach anymore. Now I just have to focus on offense, if that's going to improve any at all. But it's got to be concerning, a little bit anyways. Like, Arthur Smith wasn't the greatest play caller in Atlanta, and I don't know what's going to change in Pittsburgh. The only thing is you can say, oh, well, it is a better roster. Sure, you could say that, because it's one of the more improved rosters this offseason. Their whole offensive line looks almost different. Like, Isaac Sumalo has come over from the Philadelphia Eagles at left guard. You know, Broderick Jones, who was drafted last year, is now starting at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Another rookie drafted, Zach Frazier, that one of the better centers coming out in this draft. He's going to start at center for them. James Daniels, who was signed a couple years ago as one of the best guards in football, he still remains there. And then they drafted also Troy Fontenot, who, coming out of Washington in this draft, was seen as by a lot of people as one of the top five offensive tackles coming out, and very athletic, still has strength, still has great technique. He's going to start at right tackle. So they basically overhauled this offensive line, and now I know we're kind of going off potential with these rookies too, but Broderick Jones has already shown us something. You know, Zach Frazier, usually centers, they acclimate pretty well in the NFL. Troy Fontenot, to me, is like the only one that might be a slight, you know, concern because of his size, and hopefully he gets a little bit bigger as training camp goes on to prepare for week one. So, but again, all these guys are seen as studs. They didn't reach for anybody. They took guys that just kind of fell to them, and they took the best available. So I'm kind of excited for the Steelers fans out there and for their offensive line. Looks like, on paper anyways, that it could be a legit offensive line heading into week one. And then you look at their receiving core.
Mm-hmm.
And people were saying last year, like, well, they got George Pickens, and then, you know, and then they have Deontay. But Deontay, he's gone. He went to another team. And George Pickens, like, yo, what are we going to do about this receiving core? Like, I can catch all the balls. Yeah, if that's what you guys want me to do, I'll do it. But I need a little bit of help. So they bring over, which was interesting, is from the Atlanta, they bring over Van Jefferson, who has been a journeyman of a receiver. We'll see what he can do with this team, but so far he hasn't shown any real flashes since probably his first few years in football. So, again, we'll have to wait and see with him. And then you got the kid, Roman Wilson, from Michigan, coming to Pittsburgh, looking – he looks scary on the field. Like, he is so quick and fast. He's going to be a problem for a lot of teams to defend. So I'm very curious on him to see what he can do this year. And then going beyond them a little bit for depth, Scotty Miller. Does anybody remember Scotty Miller? Scotty Miller, formerly with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and with the Atlanta Falcons last year. Little short, Scotty, more like a quicker receiver than fast, but a guy that kind of gets the job done. I'm curious to see how involved he might get. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe he beats up Van Jefferson. You never know. And then Quez Watkins also coming over from the Eagles as well. You look at the quarterback battle, Jim. The quarterback battle. Russell Wilson, I don't know if you saw this, but Russell Wilson and Justin Fields both had, like, photo shoots, it looks like, for how strong they were or whatever, how chiseled they are.
Oh, yeah.
Fields looks like he belongs in the Olympics. And Russell Wilson has been, like, boxing, I guess, and working out a lot. And he's got that – he no longer has the dad bod anymore.
Oh, okay.
He's all chiseled. You know, he's got the abs showing and all that. And I don't know. Like, I don't read too much into that. But at the same time, all indications out of Pittsburgh is that they're saying Russell Wilson still has the lead.
Right.
And going into training camp, we do expect it to be a battle. But – honestly, I think Russell Wilson was given the nod. I think they're calling it a battle, but it's really going to be Wilson's team going forward. Mm-hmm. And Fields, we even heard rumors about him even doing some kick returning for Pittsburgh, which would be interesting because we all know he's very fast. And then you look at the running backs, Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, two studs for the Steelers that either one can get the job done, either one can start. And then they brought in also Cordarrelle Patterson, which I thought was an interesting signing. He is a very physical guy. Like, he can definitely run through people. We've seen it in Atlanta. We've seen him line up at wide receiver. So I'm curious to see how creative they might get with a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson too.
Right. Well, this is what you start to see. You see a guy come from this former team and bring in dudes that, like, know his offense that he wants to do, things like that. You got your Van Jefferson, you got your Scotty Miller, you got Cordarrelle Patterson, same kind of thing. So they know what he's expected of an Arthur Smith type of offense, and they, you know, can preach it, and they're going to do, like, they're his guys. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a perfect example to bring into this team. And then, like you said, you talk about the wide receivers. I like their depth. They've got some nice guys here around here that I could see these guys sharing time and making plays on their own. And even further down, Marquez Callaway, I think it would be cool if he could make some kind of plays here, because we saw flashes of it, but just not enough consistency. So, I mean, I really like some of these other guys on here. So, I mean, I think this, for some thing with the Steelers, I think they just have a knack with wide receivers, and I think you're going to see still some of this, even though they do have Arthur Smith as their offensive coordinator here.
The thing that's interesting is they didn't draft one.
No, right. Well,
they got Roman Wilson.
Yeah, they got Roman Wilson
in the third round, but.
Yeah.
I was expecting them to go more than one, because they usually hit.
So maybe they're like, "Yeah, we just got to do one."
But my thing is when you were vastly depleted, I fully expect them to at least come over with two.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have Van Jefferson, who really hasn't shown much, who knows? He might not even be the starter after training camp is all done. Will Scotty Miller? Will he be able to be up to par? Like, that's the thing, is like, they don't have anybody else other than what looks like Roman Wilson and Pickens to be like the go-tos.
Mm-hmm.
I just was hoping that they would get maybe another young up and coming type of wide receiver to maybe kind of at least push for that starting job, if not get it.
Yeah, but it looks like even their focus was like offensive line. That's
like
what we have to do,
and
that's
what
they
did. Right?
Well, that's it. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That's what they targeted. Solely, pretty much. And then they're like, well, after even they're like, we got this nice wide receiver too. And then even in the fourth round, let's get McCormick here, you know, as a backup and learn and get to this role possibly here.
Fourth round.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was their focus, you know, and then, we've seen them do this before. When we even thought back when they drafted Najee Harris, they should go offensive line, try and help that offensive line. But, you know, they felt then they're like, oh, we need a running back, though, too. So they went and grabbed Najee Harris when he was there.
And then also Broderick Jones a year ago was a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So they were already setting up to kind of revamp and rebuild this offensive line, and now it looks like it's finally starting to come into a completion of a project.
Mm-hmm. All right, handle the defense now.
Defensively. Don't tell me what to do.
Just do
defensively,
it.
Defensively. Here's my only thing about the defense, too, is like everybody's kind of talking about how Joey Porter Jr. is going to light up the show this year, and he's going to be a shutdown corner and everything. Are you sure about that? Because even Joey Porter's saying like he's the best corner right now in the NFL, which I think is absurd to think. Listen, you're number one in terms of holding calls. Like, you're number one in pass interference, penalties, sure. But as far as being a shutdown corner without getting penalties, no, you're not even close. I like the confidence. I like the confidence. But at the same time, the results just aren't there, Joey. So I'm a little concerned still with that secondary. Like, Minka Fitzpatrick, you know, he's since coming over to Pittsburgh's been a huge addition. Mm-hmm. But he's also had his fair share of injuries here and there. He's getting a little bit older now. So at what point is it time to, like, maybe look for a replacement? Now, I still think he still can get it done. That's not what I'm saying. But there's got to be a point in time where the Steelers, maybe it's this next offseason, they're going to be looking to kind of revamp and strengthen that back end here.
Mm-hmm.
They bring over to Dante Jackson, which was an interesting signing. A guy that was out in free agency for – longer than I thought he was going to be. I thought some teams were going to sign him well earlier into the free agency. Coming over from Carolina, a guy who's another physical type of corner. He fits Pittsburgh and what they like to do. They like their physical corners that it can bump and run coverage type of deal. He's another guy who also faces injuries from time to time. He hasn't been the most healthy. He is a little handsy sometimes. Will get some penalties called on him. So I feel like with their secondary, I feel like it's concerning. Minka, I'm not concerned about at all, but everybody else, it seems like I understand you're going for physicality. I understand that you want to get and knock receivers off their spots. You want them to be held up a little bit, create a little disturbance in the timing, but got to be careful with that because you might be the most penalized secondary in the NFL in this upcoming season. And that's not going to be a good thing. You know what is a good thing, though, is when you have guys like T.J. Watt who can pass rush. You got guys like Alex Highsmith who can pass rush off the edge. Patrick Queen is another big addition over from Baltimore, their rival. They managed to steal him away, give him a load of money, and bring him over as one of the inside linebackers. So that, to me, is going to be interesting to see that dynamic of just adding Patrick Queen and – utilizing his coverage ability and his ability to attack the run. That's going to be fun to watch. And then you look at their D-line, which has been getting a little bit older in the teeth here.
Yep.
Cameron Hayward is approaching, you know, his latter years in the NFL and, quite honestly, has asked for an extension, but Pittsburgh doesn't seem to really – hasn't really responded yet in terms of giving him an extension. He very well may be a free agent. I know, Steelers fans, it's shocking. They don't want that to happen, but he very well may be a free agent. I think the Steelers are preparing for his departure and to fill in his shoes. But a guy by the name of Keanu Benton is going to be a difference maker this year. He's finally getting a chance to start this season. A guy who's been a nose tackle for Wisconsin, has been waiting for his moment, is now going to get it, and I think he's going to have an awesome year for the Steelers. And then Larry Ogunjobi. Oh, Larry. Journeyman, going around team to team, finding, you know, he's usually only there for a year, then he goes somewhere else. So I think that the defense is going to be just fine, but there are some concerns, I feel like, that not really sure how they're going to work out, whether it be the corners, whether it be Larry Ogunjobi. Like, he's shown flashes with Miami. You know, he's been with Cincinnati. He's done his thing with Cincinnati. Is he going to be able to play in this 3-4 defense and do it well? So that to me is a little uneasy. But overall, I think they're going to be a solid team. But, man, I really do think that this division right now, like after talking about all these teams, it's going to be something to watch. It's definitely going to be one heavyweight division of football teams here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and this team, we talk about, or at least I have even, you know, maybe them finally taking this step back here, but surprisingly, they still, you know, made that playoff push last year. And it's no wonder why they're going to cover this team during the season here for Hard Knocks, because the way these teams rival against each other, they're competitive, mm-hmm. they're just all winners. Especially at this point now, even the Cleveland Browns at this point, you know yep. what I mean? So it's going to be tough. Interesting to see during the season, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers do end up for the first time since what 1980 something or 1990 something that they don't end up last in this division with how tight this division is.
Yeah.
And depth on all these other teams, you know, so, That's our AFC North preview. We're going to do our picks in just a little bit, mm-hmm. but I have to give a shout out to Mike Tackett's in the house with
What's
us
going
tonight.
On,
bro.
Mike Tackett's
with us.
Welcome to the show, bro.
He says, let's get to his question in just a second, but he says the Steelers are preparing to release Cam Hayward to give Justin Fields a hefty extension is what he's hearing now.
Interesting.
So there you go. And I do not doubt that because Mike Tackett is always right there, you know, in the know on that, and he knows everything. So he gets all that inside information. But here he goes. He goes, happy Tuesday to these two fine gentlemen. Here you go. Bigger surprise. We're only 23 days away from the NFL starting up again, or Jamarcus Russell stealing a $74,000 check intended for a high school donation.
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would be surprised about that.
I guess, yeah, the more bigger surprise would be 23 days yeah. away to the NFL.
Yeah, that'd be the bigger surprise.
Yes.
Yeah, that scumbag.
Yeah. I'm not surprised about anything he does.
Listen, whenever some of these former athletes, you know, you hear stories about them going bankrupt, and then you hear stories about them like getting different professions and they're working at different capacities, and they still screw that up. Like, they still get into trouble legally, they get into trouble civilly, they get into it's a never ending cycle, and they just never learn. So, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it's funny, it's because again, Jamarcus Russell as a coach for the Williamson High School.
Why would you have him as a coach?
He volunteered. He's like, I want to volunteer to be your coach. I'm like, no, we're good on that, bro. Hey, yeah, we're good. But
Coach, is there a playbook this week? No, I don't do playbooks.
Yeah.
I don't do playbooks. We do it playground style. We call plays in the huddle. That's what we do.
So the story is he went around to local businesses, and Chris Knowles, a business owner, gave him a $74,000 check, which was supposed to pay for a team weight room equipment.
Oh, weight room equipment.
Weight room equipment. That's what the $74,000 was supposed to go to. Apparently and allegedly, the school never received anything. None of that. Not that check. Nothing. And Russell deposited it in a credit union and quickly withdrew $55,000 of it.
Oh.
So, allegedly, you know. but, man. So, he continues just to be a loser and a scumbag, you know. So, wow. I mean, again, it's alleged, but come on. We're not putting it past Jamarcus Russell here. And it's sad that you do that you steal kids and stuff like that, where you're trying to help people out and things, so. That's funny too, is because he couldn't even find a living like in, you know, arena league or anything like that. Like, trying to rejuvenate a career somewhere else, trying to do something.
Cause he's lazy.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do anything, bro.
Yeah.
He wants to get paid to do nothing.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm. So yeah, I'm not surprised about that either. So
it's been proven, right? Like, even in the NFL, it was proven. Like, here,
yes.
Take this CD home. Let us know what plays you like. Comes back the next morning. Coach says, what plays do you like? He goes, I like all of them. Like, oh, you like all of them, really? And he's like, yeah, every single one. Well, there was no plays on it.
Yeah, it was blank.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, doesn't even want to do the homework. So, yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we've done our homework, Joe, and yes. We're talking about the AFC North.
Right.
So it's time to do our way too early picks right now. But what do you think here, Joe? What's rounding off here? What do you got? Who you got taking this division?
I'll tell you right now, and we talked, this is basically splitting hairs at this point. Mm-hmm. We talk about Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. I don't have any concerns with their rosters at all. Pittsburgh, there's a couple, not like it's glaring or anything, but I got a couple. And with that being said, though, here's the thing, the other thing, too, to think about is Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, coming back from injuries. Can they sustain health this year? So that's the other part of me that's kind of – I'm throwing that in the equation because you got to be a little nitpicky, you know, at this point with this division. So honestly, I love the marriage with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. I like what they have to, what they have already put together there. I think the Ravens are going to win the division. I think second in a very close battle could be Cleveland. I think the Bengals are going to be third. And then I think Pittsburgh's last for the first time in like 400 years.
Yeah, it's funny because, I was looking at this too, and I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take the Ravens on this one. My hot take early on a few weeks ago was the fact that I think Joe Burrow does not kind of come back. He's a little slower coming back to what he was, and he's going to underperform. I think he's not going to come back with a vengeance. So I'm going to go with not taking the division, but I still think he's going to be there at second place. And then the Cleveland Browns at third and Pittsburgh also here at fourth for the first time. In like 30 years or so.
400 years.
Yeah, pretty sure. Even like maybe second time under Mike Tomlin because he's been there like that long and something and just got his extension. So
yeah.
So there you go. There's our way too early predictions. But we'll see how they pan out. Who knows? And we definitely have a lot coming. Like Mike Tackett said, 23 days to go, right? That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
Yeah.
And, like, we still got, like, preseason games to go and cut down day. Like, that's going to be a whole other episode in itself is it's talking about who got cut, who might be going elsewhere. Like, and then Mike Tackett, our very own Mike Tackett, chiming in saying that he's got the inside scoop that Cam Hayward may be released from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, that'll be big news because a guy that's been with that organization for his whole entire career. And for them to, like, even if he does get released, I don't think he'll have a problem getting another team. I think another team will definitely like his services. But man, it will be definitely a little bit of a shock value for the Steel Curtain fans there.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's it for our show tonight. We definitely appreciate you guys joining us.
Yes.
And, Joe, tell them where you can find more episodes like the Blindside Blitz.
Yeah, let us tell you where to go here, guys. You can take your football and run over to YouTube, hit that subscribe button, the notification bell as well. Listen, Grumblings Media, it's an amazing place to go to because they have everything there. All your political, your entertainment, and sports podcasts, all going to be there. You can also follow any of us wherever you get your podcasts, right? Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, you name it, we're there. Make sure you drop some reviews there for us, 5 stars. Make sure you follow us there. Also, check out grumblingsmedia.com, the website there. Give it a gander. Take a look at everything that they got to show you guys. Also, head over to rumble.com if you want to drop us a follow there. Much appreciated. You can even do reviews there. Mm-hmm. And thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week, Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern.